Good morning. My name is Mike Willits, and I'm a student at Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary right down the road. And we'd like to invite any young men from campus who are interested at all in the seminary or who would like to know a little bit more about the pastoral ministry to come to our seminite this Sunday night, March 25th. It'll be from 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Pastor Steve Peterson will be giving a presentation on the pastor and the mission field. And there's also going to be some food there. So if you're interested, if you'd like to know a little bit more, please stop by 5:30 to 7, and I hope to see many of you there. Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One day Jesus was walking in a crowd, and somebody shouted out at him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus responded back to him, "Man, who made me a judge over you, an arbitrator for you?" And then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And those are the lines that take us up to the text for today, clearly shaping our thinking that this is about covetousness. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain man, rich man, yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops.' So he said, 'Well, I'll do this. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is our text. This biblical text is marked by many well-known lines, a clear portrayal of man's fallen nature, which is given to greed and to covetousness. Soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And then God's judgment upon him, well known. Fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. And the one that really I've had on my mind, and it seems to me that we could put this as a placard in front of us at where we work. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things you possess. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things you possess. Think about that. It's the people around us. It's the God who we serve. That's the thing that gives us the abundance of life, not the things that we have. Greed, that innate desire, that longing for things, for money, for fame, for power, for pleasure. Jesus warned against those things. He said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, and he had a long list of other things. And remember the parable of the sower and the seed? In one case, the seed fell among what? Thorns. And the thorns choked out the ability to give any kind of fruit. And he said, what is that? That's the people who hear the word, and they go away for a while, and then the thorns of life, it takes longer, maybe 20 years, 50 years. Who knows how long, but those thorns grow up, and they choke out that word. And who did he say they are? They're the ones who are looking at the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world. In the story of the no-name rich man, and here's another no-name rich man. Notice how poor Lazarus has a name. God knows the poor, but he does not know the names. He doesn't list the names of the rich because they're not written in the book of heaven, because they've denied him. They have no place for him in their heart. Maybe they did it one time, but somehow life caused them to lose it. Abraham, in life a rich man of faith and of wealth, earthly wealth, stands before this rich man now in hell, and he says tenderly, really, it's a moving part. "Son, remember in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things," and now paraphrasing, "Lazarus is rich forever and in heaven, and you are a hopeless beggar in hell." You know, those are the two alternatives that we're faced with and that the text really presents us with here today. Paul's epistles indict Christians then and now because of greed and because of covetousness. In Romans' epistle, Paul's epistle to Rome, Paul lists covetousness as part of the debased mind after the fall. And he goes on to mention it in numerous other times. In his letter to the Colossians, he says, because of these things, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death evil desire and, what, covetousness. In Ephesians, he tells us why. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. The act of acquiring and storing wealth, of course, is not in and of itself sinful, as is evidenced by Abraham. It may be motivated that storing by Christian charity, or it may be motivated by selfishness. If life doesn't have God or a willingness to serve neighbor in it, can that be a Christian life? You can't know the motivation unless you can see into the actor's heart what these acts are. Today's text shows its selfishness for all to see and the consequences. Now, in this economy, we may be tempted to accumulate, to be stingy, even more so than in the past, right? Because after all, you're not going to have a Social Security 50 years from now, right? It's going to be gone. So, boy, you better start saving up, of course. And those of us who are at the end, approaching pension perhaps, we're looking at the economy and the Dow and the downturn and seeing the pensions slip. And so everybody, young and old, can in this economy be tempted to go and to focus on wealth and to forget that God is here to take care of us. That is not the accumulation of wealth. You can't take it with you. That is central. Soul, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the goal of both of those, by the way. Think about it. Why do I need to acquire that all that wealth if it takes over my mind? So that I can retire, right? So that I can, what? Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, it's interesting. Those lines echo a passage from Isaiah. They're not an Epicurean creed. They actually are straight out of Isaiah. God had called his people to repentance and to mourning over sin. Mourn over your sins, repent, he had said to them. But they chose to party instead, saying, and I'm quoting exactly Isaiah 22:13, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Sounds like the rich man, doesn't it? Does it sound like your thinking or mine? That's the big question. A YouTube video shows the Dave Matthews Band performing a perfect spring break song called Tripping Billy's before a live audience as he tells a story of people drunk on tequila, here's one of the lines, before a live audience. Out on the beaches, we wore pineapple grass bracelets. And then he comes to that biblical line at one point, at the beginning and at the very end of the song, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And the crowd erupts into a loud roar of approval. The spirit of Israel's rebellion in ancient times lives as a colony in our own hearts. And we are like the rich man, lost, lest we repent. That's really what Lent is about, to call us once again to repentance and faith. This Passion season reminds us that God sent his Son into the world to turn our sinful fixation on material riches to the spiritual riches to be found in Jesus Christ. And so just note how many passages just echo that theme. Luke 9:25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? And then Paul, writing to the pastor Timothy, said, godliness with contentment is great gain. having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Well-known phrases, but they're all about this very same theme today. But let us not think for a minute that such spiritual contentment leaves us impoverished. Jesus Christ is specifically described in the New Testament as the giver of true spiritual riches, forgiveness, life, salvation, which he purchased not through gold or silver, but through his holy, precious blood. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, wrote Paul, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. We're in good company if we don't have a lot of money. That you through his poverty might become rich. Or in another place, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering? Now listen to this, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. If you're sorry for your sins, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the next moment, right after that, is joy, because you have a Savior. And then finally, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ. So as we approach that most holy week of the Passion season, may we in humble faith savor the riches in Christ, living lives of faith in God and generosity to those of our neighbors who are in need. Amen. We rise for prayer. May the hope, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. O Savior of the world, by your cross and precious blood, you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly beseech you, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we humbly beseech you to set your passion, cross, and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of death. Give us mercy and grace, and grant your church concord and peace, that at length we shall enjoy everlasting life and glory. For with the Father and the Holy Spirit you reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.